Welcome to Missing Figures. It's a discussion about stories of power, perseverance, and possibility that I really think should be, well, we really think should be common knowledge, but aren't. My name's Sherry Renard. There are hundreds of descriptors that make me me, but three of the most relevant for today's show are that I'm a coach, I'm a writer, and I'm a proud African-American woman.
My name is Cynthia Wright, and I'm a writer. I'm a small business owner, actually, and I'm also a proud African-American woman.
One thing you should know is this Missing Figures episode is actually a proof of concept, at least for me. Missing Figures, who are they? What is all of this about? If any of you saw the trailer, you'll know that these are people from history that you may not be aware of compared to the introductory people that we saw in the images.
I was going to say, like, what drew you initially to wanting to do this show about missing figures? I know for me is that as a writer, I'm a history buff, and in general, I'm a history buff. But as a writer, I was always going down rabbit holes, looking at different things and realizing that there's so many people that are part of history that are the fact that a lot of history is whitewashed, to put it bluntly, and being kind of I was very upset about that because we're losing pivotal stories that really paint what happens in our society and the world.
You nailed it. It's for me, it was frustration. Every time a biopic came out, every time there was an announcement of somebody passing away that I hadn't heard about, you know, first I'd be in awe of what I was hearing and all the things that these people had done. But then the second strongest emotion was just pure frustration that I hadn't lived my whole life knowing about this person, which again circles back to this proof of concept. It's because I feel like these stories, and we both said we're writers, you know, we have specific sort of genres and types of writing that we do. Screenwriting is a favorite of mine, but I think we both do all kinds of writing. We're trying to get stories out there, and I was frustrated because a lot of these stories for me are about courage, and they're about people that have contributed to this country, and they are people that get, as you said, not just whitewashed. It's almost like they're cut out of it as if we did not contribute to the building of this country, except in one particular way. This is where the African-American woman comes in. Yes, because we know African-American women and people are presented as their historical story is about slavery. That is building up this country. Yes, it is part of this country, but it is not the only thing that we have done for this country. And there are lots of people that are missing figures that have built this country, were here from the beginning, and we don't know about them.
Exactly. I was going to say, and I think that's one of the reasons why the show is so important and so valuable, and why I'm so excited to go on the journey with you, of course, Sherry, and just like the audience, because it's something that we need to talk about. Like, and if we don't talk about it, like, you know, people are going to be lost to history. There may be people already lost to history that we may not even know, you know? So I hope as we go through this, like, you know, people can like let us know, like, people that we may do little exposés on, because this is all about us really painting the full color, full picture, in so many words, of our history, not just American history. We're going to spend a lot of time in America, but just the history of just our society, our world at large, because there's so many things just as we've been researching and looking at things, and we're so excited to bring the people that we have discovered or have or that have come onto our radar to you guys. But it's like you said, it's so frustrating, it's so hurtful that these people, these men and women, are just lost. Like, people don't even think to bring them up in conversations where they should be.
Right. And I you know, you gotta wonder why. why are these stories missing? I hear one almost every day now. I don't know if I'm more attuned to it, but like I'm starting to write them down. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, why is this person not the one that we know? And I have to say, you know, there are a lot of historical podcasts out there, and they try and take a deep dive or a different angle on these people's stories. But I think if you'll notice that the ones that we know the best, that come to mind, we don't really know all the detail about them. I don't even know if that's important to know, you know, in, you know, 1618, they signed this, or 1820, they did this, and they had a meeting, and they got awarded this. I'm not sure if it's necessary to know all that. If you think about the top lines that you know of most famous people, Amelia Earhart, you know, was in our video, George Washington, there's probably about three sentences, you know, off the top of your head. But the point is, they're common knowledge. Yep. They are things that people can pull on. You know what that person did in the world, at least on a surface level. These people that we're pulling up, not only do you not know what they did on a surface level, it's almost as if anybody like them never did those things at all. And yes, for me, that's what's important. This is where the coach part comes in. I coach people. I have an intuitive sense of people and what motivates them, and I try and help them move forward, particularly in the professional sense. And one of the things that I find over and over that holds people back is fear of the unknown. I mean, It's as simple as that. You know, people talk themselves out of doing things because they don't really believe they can. And when they run through the scenarios, they run through the worst case. A lot of these people that we've found in history had everything going against them. They did that in the face of this. That is the deepest unknown that you could ever have. And so I'm always trying to take the mystery out of that. I think the power of knowing about these people is the power of knowing what's possible for yourself. And I think it's particularly important that it is somebody that you can identify with in at least some small way.
I agree with that 100%. And that's another thing that's like why I'm so, I think, drawn and fascinated to history, because I was looking for those. Like, I think I'm always like a seeker. I know you and I had a conversation about like, what is our thing? You know, what are you looking for? What are you searching for?
Driving question.
Your driving question. And which I thought was such an interesting question to ask somebody, actually. But I know for me, it's like, I was always like seeking for something like that. I was seeking for others like me. I was seeking for people who didn't necessarily go the path, that steady path that people thought you were supposed to go and do, you know. And I was always searching for that because I felt like growing up, I had to be like this box all the time. Right. And I was like, but that's not fulfilling or driving. And it's not knocking people that, you know, that's their jam and they love that. But I was like, but it wasn't for me. And I felt stifled by that. But then I was like, well, who can I look to? Like, who are like the renegades? Who are the rebels? Who are the people like pushing the envelope, pushing for change, you know? And it was hard to, and you don't see that. And like, it was hard to find people. And I didn't see that a lot. Like, you know, I didn't see a lot of Black people or Black women in particular that were doing that, who were like saying like, I'm not going to just be this.
That's why it's important, because, you know, we can try and imagine ourselves there, but I don't think you really believe that it is possible unless you see it. There has to be, even, I mean, little things, Cynthia, like I grew up in the 80s, that was, and 80s television and cinema, it was Whoopi Goldberg. Yes. And the Huxtables, and then came along. You know, we know that that's all a mixed up thing, but it was important. It was actually important because, you know, in my family, we were the only Black family usually in our neighborhood. And it made a difference to me that the number one TV show in the United States was a Black family of professionals that was similar in makeup to mine. It made me feel safer, because if you like the Huxtables, I'm thinking this is really weird, but if you like the Huxtables, then they'll probably like us if they get to know us. It's a weird thing. But that's what representation is, I think, because you got to know what's possible. The fact that Whoopi Goldberg was celebrated, that made a huge difference to me, that she was like the featured.
And she's a dark black dark woman. Dark-skinned
woman with natural hair. Yeah. It was a big deal. Huge. So, and but as you said, you talked about a box. It's still a limited, you know, number of examples that we have. Mm-hmm. Even to this day with the internet, there's still very much a handful of ideas that come to mind about what we can be. We see it in the careers that people take up, the careers we're directed towards, our children are directed towards. But there's so many more possibilities. All these people that we keep adding to our list are possibilities of what can be done. It's about being your full self. And I think half the people that are doing what they're doing, and this goes for anybody, would be doing something different if they knew what was possible for them.
I feel, and another thing is, and I totally agree with everything you're saying, but I also feel like another thing is like giving that, like knowing those people, but then also feeling like they are safe or they're able to explore those types of fields or arenas, you know? Because I feel like it's also knowing that there's people that came before you, but also feeling like you can get there too, you know? And having that support and confidence and feeling like you can go out there and explore. You don't necessarily have to think your one way to get money or be like comfortable is, you know, X, Y, and Z. And I think it's just rewiring like how we approach the stories that we tell ourselves and our families, but also being able to pull and be like, you know, there was someone that came before you. There's people out there that have been doing this. Like, that's why I'm so excited about this project, is being able to say, you know, there's people that came before, there's people, and we're also going to tap into like people, what, if we know of anything currently, like what people are doing now, if they're in the same field, like what they're doing, like even the people that we're going to go into, like if there's certain, like a holiday or something that honors them, you know, stuff like that, that exists out in the world now to still cast or still like pay homage to this person that existed. Yes. And it's like, you may walk by it every day. You may not even know who that person is.
What
they considered. And I even want to talk about, is that enough to pay homage to them?
Right. I mean, yes. I mean, you again hit the nail on the head. I mean, we should talk about the one of the things that we connected over. You write screenplays. We met in a writer's group.
Yes.
I don't even know how long ago it's been now, but
I don't know either.
It's been a while, so. But you, like you said, you always dove into such interesting characters, and a lot of them based in history. And I will never forget the moment you're working on a television screenplay about an African-American woman that was the boss in her unit in Vietnam, her medical unit. Working as, you should tell this part, actually.
Yeah, but you were doing such a good job at it.
I was captivated. In fact, I've heard it so many times, but I just listen, you know, because it's amazing to me. But go ahead, you pick up that part.
Okay. So as Sherry was saying, we were in a writer's group and I was talking about my character and how this story came to be, because the story is basically about a Black Vietnam nurse who comes back home and what her life was like in the late 1960s, early 70s, after coming back from Vietnam. And what drove me is, like, I went through one of my Wikipedia spirals, which happens, and I was reading about Vietnam, because that time in history is just interesting to me, just about how America was at that time, just everything that was going on from all sides. All the different movements that were going on. And I stumbled upon a story about a Black Vietnam nurse, and she was retelling her story in an interview. And I sat there, and my first thought when I saw her, I was like, whoa, there were Black nurses in Vietnam? Like, they ran, what? And then I just stopped that thought, and I just felt so ashamed of myself. So, like, why would I think that? You know, and then because I consider myself very, like, you know, open and like Black.
You're educated. You've seen the world. You're well traveled. Yeah.
Yes. And I was, but then it's like, I'm still conditioned, even though I'm not even aware of it. And that was like a moment when I was like, wow, you know, I still have stuff that I need to unlearn and work through on my own. And then I was like, well, I definitely have to do this story.
Yes,
you know, because
yes.
I didn't, it floored me, it fascinated me. And then just to be able to go and be in Vietnam and run things and then come back home when people are like, you're just like, basically all we want you to be is a wife and mother. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But just being, but what if you didn't want that? Or what if you wanted both? Like, I feel like a lot sometimes, and especially with women, that we are made to feel like we have to be one or the other. But I'm like, why can't we have it all? Like, why can't we have the family and the career and be successful?
It's not even just the career. Why can't we just be who we want to be?
Exactly.
I think the world would be a better place if most people could be who they wanted to be.
Yes.
I think a lot of the world's ills are that, you know. But what you said is so true, because all that stayed with me the rest of that class after you said that was that, why didn't I know that there, why did I never conceive of the fact that there were Black women nurses or doctors or anybody, Black women over in Vietnam?
Like, we knew about soldiers. Like, I knew about, like, you know, there's like platoons and units and stuff of Black men soldiers and stuff, like Black male soldiers. But I was sitting there like, but why wouldn't women were in the military at the time? Why wouldn't Black? And it was sort of just like one of those things, like, we are just so conditioned to not see ourselves, and that has to stop.
Right. Exactly. And I circle back to the whole idea of, I always think about, okay, what did this person have to go through? Here I am, afraid to, you know, do a podcast. I'm speaking to somebody I know and love and respect, and this frightens the life out of me to have a conversation that's recorded and share with the world. These people actually went out when everybody was telling them no and did stuff anyway. And for me, that spurs me on. It gives me perspective. That's one of the things I want to come out of these stories. If you know that it's possible, that is a first step to getting rid of or overcoming the unknown, especially if you know it's possible in the face of all kinds of odds, codified racism, codified sexism, all the stuff that was there in their way. And not just, you know, this was society. You still have people. We were still living with generations of people who were like, well, that's just how things are. If you were tough, you know, you put up with the stuff that was wrong. These people, how did they even conceive that it was possible? So this is what I want to share. I want you to understand what is possible about the world. I also want people to understand that people of color, indigenous people, all sorts of people, there's nowhere we belong. There's no one place where we belong. Everybody belongs everywhere if they want to be there. So I just think, if you can take anything from these stories, again, we're not historians. We are history fans.
Yes.
I am not an academic about this. We will try and bring you as much, anything that we can find, like Cynthia said, that's closer to firsthand, people that knew these people, people mm-hmm. have studied these people. I would like to bring that to you. But it's more about what, you know, what was in front of them, and they still said, okay, this is what I have to be in this world. And also, a lot of the people that we feature will or hope to feature, you're benefiting from what they did, mm-hmm. and you don't even know it. That's wrong. Yeah, I think that's wrong. You don't even know. I'm going to mention this, Dr. Olivia Hooker, because she's going to be featured in our first episode. Mm-hmm. And one thing that always sticks out in my mind about her, this woman lived to be 102 or 103 years old. We only lost her in 2018. Again, she is part of my frustration because I didn't know about her until she died.
Mm-hmm.
She actually lives less than an hour away from me. And so that was part of my frustration. But one thing she always said, she said, I knew that so many people before me had fought for me to have opportunity, and I thought it would be a shame to let it go to waste. And we know how many people went before us, and you know, intellectually we know, but we don't have them, the individuals, I don't think, that we could, you could never count how many people have made sacrifices that we benefit from. Mm-hmm. I think it's important to honor people because of the sacrifices. Like for me, I will always vote. I know people shed blood. They shedded blood so that I could vote.
Yes.
So yes. I will always vote.
Same. I'm the same
it's,
way.
It's, and so I think there's other ways though. It doesn't always have to be about the struggle. I think it's about living your full potential, being the human being you want to be, bringing to the world what you actually wanted to bring to the world, and knowing that it's possible, because people who had everything trying to stop them still did it.
Yeah, and I also think it's a sense of pride. I feel like so much of what we know and see, even today, it's getting a little bit better bit by bit. It's like us, either the struggle or us doing bad things. And it's like always shine like such a negative light. And it's like we have brought so much. If you even think, take first like present day, we're like the tastemakers. People look to Black culture for so many things, for insight, for what's hot, for what's like, what's the current, like anything really.
Right.
It comes really back to the Black culture. But it's like, but I also feel like, yeah, there's some pride in that, but it's like, we should be proud of so many other things we brought to outside of just entertainment. Right. And it's like, you know, there's so many people out there that have shaped this world that were Black, there are people of color, they're indigenous or whatever. They shaped this world, and this foundation wouldn't be the same if they never existed. And it's like, there's a sense of pride and honor in that, that you should, and I want people to be able to walk with their head high and just be able to say like, yeah, I know this person and I know what they contributed to the society and how I benefited from it and how, and hopefully, and how I'm going to help pay it forward. You know, whether it's knowing the history and telling the story to their kids, whether it's making sure that people are aware of it. As like you say, you're a mentor. I mean, you're a coach. I mean, I talk about things and a lot of like, and like, you know me, I know we're going to talk about Dr. Olivia Hooker. We're going to talk about her first, but then our second person that we hope to bring or plan to bring is like Bessie Coleman. And that's another person that I'm writing something based off of her. And I found out about her kind of on accident, because I was learning French, or I'm learning French off and on, and I was doing book reports in French about, and I only wanted to do stories about Black people, French-speaking Black people, people that were born in France, or like French African countries, French Caribbean, stuff like that. And that's how I found about Bessie Coleman, because, you know, she's an American, but she was like born in like the late
1800s. Yeah.
And she decided she wanted to become a pilot, but she couldn't get licensed in the States. So she learned French to go to France so she could go and get licensed. But it's like stuff like that. And I was like, whoa, you know, like she was just like, she's amazing. And I would never have known about her. She learned a language to learn how to fly planes and then come back. And she was still trying to pay it forward for her community back in the early 20th century. You know, how can we not know about her? It's like, you know, we know about Earhart, Amelia Earhart. We know about Charles Lindbergh. You probably, or you may even know who she is. You may not know about her, but you know the name.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't even have to be a deep dive. She's still an example for young women of what is possible. But she's like the only example. And again, you can talk yourself out of it. If Amelia Earhart doesn't connect with you, you don't see yourself in America, you can say, well, she was a white woman, she had resources, you know, it'll never happen for me because I am so and so, or I've never seen a Mexican-American woman do that, I've never seen you could go down the list, I've never seen a Chinese American woman do that. You can talk yourself out of it because you don't see an example of yourself doing this. But I think one of the things you hit on that's important too is, again, that perspective. This woman was out in Texas in the 1800s. So one, how did she conceive of the idea? Two, where do you even know where to start? Especially when everybody probably that you're going to ask is going to say, why do you want to do that? Including your parents and your siblings, because they also can't conceive of this. It just boggles the mind. Don't let society tell you it's not possible. These people did it with nothing.
She had nothing. She really probably, she had no one to like look at and say, well, I can kind of emulate that. She was like, I'm just going to have to figure it out on my own. It's like, how do you even research the fact that, you know, they are French?
I'd like to know.
Like French airplane, you know, like going to get your light pilot's license in France is the only place to go. But it's sort of just interesting, just like her story. And I know that she died young, but she just lived like such a full life.
She
did what she wanted, and she didn't like have any, she didn't have any like qualms about it. She was like, she was unapologetic. And I think that's what I like to see, an unapologetic Black woman.
Right. All the stuff that's holding us back is in our heads, I think. I'm thinking, because after I've seen half these stories, I can't believe what's gone on in the world that I didn't grow up knowing my whole life. You'll notice that the title Missing Figures may sound similar to a very famous Hollywood movie. And this is when I really thought, okay, this is when this idea never left me. Because I sat through that movie and went through the roller coaster of emotions about what happened to the women that were engineers and mathematicians at NASA. And I was furious when I came out. We have all these, this push towards STEM and STEAM in school, trying to get Americans to be better at science and engineering. And we have them specifically for girls. And I just thought, how is it possible that this is our mission? We had a Black president, we've had all sorts of people pushing this way to go, and never heard of these women.
Yep.
Never heard of any of them. Not the three women featured, and there must have been, I don't even know how many were actually computers. For anybody who didn't know that story, it's about the mathematicians that did the computations for NASA. Is it in the 60s? In the 60s, and it featured three women that went on to work for NASA for a very long time. And it just boggles the mind that not every child in the United States knows that this is a fact, that these women did this. And I emphasize too that we are Black women talking about things that relate to us, but I want to emphasize too that I think everybody needs to know about these people. It's not we could go into Black History Month. We all know about NASA. We all know about all sorts of people. Yeah, but it's not a niche thing, is what I'm trying to say.
It's not
something for Black History Month. It is stuff that should be a common knowledge about the history of this country. It's not specialized history. It is American history. And I think that is another problem about the stories that we choose to tell and highlight, because I think it allows certain groups of people to say that we just got here, and anything good or refined or developed or whatever came because of somebody, you know, we know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
But you guys just got here, and you know, really, you just gave us, you know, entertainment and sports, and like you said, the cool fashion and whatever. And really, that's not true. We're every race, color, religion, sexual orientation, gender identification contributed to this country from the beginning.
Yeah.
And that is why we need to share these stories, because those little kids that come up need to know from the beginning, I was a part of the American story. From the beginning, my people added to what is this country. And it's not specialized history. It is nice to have a month. I don't even know. I guess all these things developed because the default was white. So, but in an ideal world, we would know this is American history. It's not Black American history. It's not Pacific Asian Islander history and, you know, Latin American history. It is the history of our country and the world.
And the world, yeah.
Because a lot of these people added things to the world that we don't talk about. And I think you should start off life knowing this. You know, we'll try and cover, you know, the things that hopefully will stick in your mind, you know, when they lived, when they died, what they were known for, you know, what levels they reached, what society was trying to tell them they couldn't do, a lot of times in code, written down by law. And like Cynthia said, what is left of their legacy so that you can be reminded of these people, not just during the podcast, but as you go about the world, let it be a little reminder that, and you may not have to run through, you know, the list of achievements of this person, but if it just says to you, oh yeah, I can do this today. I can do this today. A little, let it be, if it, in a small way, it does that, that will be awesome. At least for me.
Yeah, same here, of course. We really want to make sure that this podcast really helps to broaden, because it's broadened our horizons for sure. Mm. I can definitely speak for me, and I'm sure I can say the same for Sherry, but it's broadened our horizons about just like what's possible, what is out there. And we really hope that you tune in every time that we post a new episode and you share the story out with someone, people that you know in your life, children, kids, teens, other adults, just people that you find that would really benefit from learning about these people. And of course, we would love it if you would subscribe and follow us as well on Twitter and Instagram, as we continue to bring interesting stories, fun facts about parts of lives that have been left, I guess, out of the historical context of like what we think of when it comes to our worlds. And if you happen to know, because like we are very curious people, and we will always be open to knowing about who do you consider a missing figure.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, that's the whole point. They're lost to us. It's and we said, yes, proud African American women, but I want to know about everybody. I do, and I hope you do too. It's not just about that. It's about our collective story. It is about the power of human beings to overcome and to get on with life and be in this world the way they want to be defined the way they want to be defined. And I think we've hit on a great list so far. The ongoing running list, which just gets longer and longer. In fact, I have somebody else to add to it that I heard about last night. This ongoing list is exciting. So the mission, if you join us on Missing Figures, is to make sure that that's not the case anymore in your own little way. Like Cynthia said, it doesn't have to be a history lesson. It's, did you know that so-and-so did this, and how amazing that is, and share it. So thank you for joining us. Yes. I had so much fun. And like I said, proof of concept, because I was terrified to do a podcast and I think about all the people on the list. I'm like, why? Why am I afraid? Why? I've done it. Something I wanted to do, I've done it. And, yes. And nothing really was standing in my way except for my brain.
Yeah, but you did it. You pushed through and you did it. So there you go.
Yes, thank you. I really value having you as a partner. One, because we talked about this stuff anyway.
You know, I was all aboard when you said you were open to doing a podcast. So I had to jump all up on that, everybody.
Oh, yeah. She does. She's the expert in this between the two of us. Look for Cynthia's other work out in the world. She definitely, Cynthia Wright is already in the podcast world, but she thankfully agreed to be my co-host on this. I like talking about it. Like I said, it's not going to be necessarily a history lesson, but hopefully we'll make these stories more common knowledge and part of a real American story. So till next week, go share that missing figure with somebody, and we look forward to sharing a lot of great stories with you.
Yes, we do. Take care, everybody.
Mm-hmm.